You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on this hour after 10:30, the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports, and we will wrap up the show as we always do around 10:51 with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the Grab the Bull by the Horn edition. You want to stick around for that. Right now, though, we are joined by Tricia Peterson is our guest. She is with We Can, and we're going to talk about the Wisconsin budget and child care in particular. Tricia, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So the Governor Evers, early in the morning, 1:30 this morning, did sign the budget. There have been some concessions to child care, but obviously this is not everything that everyone had hoped for.
Definitely not. We were definitely disappointed, that's for sure. Another Band-Aid, which we expected. So we'll get $110 million for the next year. And then in June, it's fight for yourself because no one's coming to save us. So the ones that are voting will be out as of March of next year until the following year, till January. So as of June, when the money runs out, we will not have anything left. So I think you'll continue to see closures and you'll continue to see prices hiked and parents pulling their kids because they just can't afford it. So it's not going to be pretty.
We've been kind of struggling with the budget this week just because when it was announced, Governor Evers, the Republicans, and some Democrats were like, this is it. The Democrats, it's not the best, it's not perfect, but it's better than what the Republicans were going to give us. And then a lot of Democrats came out, and We Can came out and said, we are not in favor of this, we don't like this. We found out that, you know, as you said, you're going to get 1 year of funding. I have a bunch of questions. The first of all is, why did they agree to just 1 year of funding? Why wouldn't they fund for 2 years? And Which is the length of the budget. It just makes sense. It seems like they said, the Democrats almost said, all right, we'll give them 1 year and then we'll check back in a little while. But also the second question is, why do Democrats then, and I'm not asking you, I don't want to ask you to speak for the Democratic Party, but why do they call this a win if something like this, which is such a big concern, is not being helped in the long run? It's, as you said, being given a Band-Aid. That was a very weird question to ask, but it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense.
I think at the end of the day, they wanted us in the budget, and to begin with, we had $0 in the budget. So I think that was the biggest piece of the compromise. We'll give you 1 year, but the money isn't even coming from the budget money. It's actually coming from the ARPA funds. It's the interest that they've earned on that. So it's not even coming from the budget. So $0 of the $110 million is actually coming from the budget. So this is money, this is interest money. And so I think this is the compromise of putting us in there and giving us to shut us up. Is that I feel the other little pieces, though, there is money from the budget that is supposed to help us, like the 4K bill. I think if we're still here, we could utilize that, but I don't think I'll be here to utilize it. And then I think the thing that we get really frustrated about is adding more children already into the classrooms is not going to help our budgets. It's actually going to run teachers out, and we won't have the centers because comes to work as the teacher. So I feel like there's such a misunderstanding of what the actual ask should have been. And we've been saying this for years of wages are our issue. It's not deregulation. It's not adding more kids to our centers. It's not anything else but wages. How do we get monies into the teachers' pockets so they stay and they feel valued and heard? I think that at the end of the day, that's it. And I think I commend them for trying to compromise, but I also feel like they hung all this money in front of us. And now they're like, do something that's so illegal and so unethical. And then I'll give you some money like that. It doesn't sit well with me.
Tricia Peterson is our guest. We were talking about the Wisconsin state budget. And Tricia, you own a daycare center.
Yes, I own a licensed child care facility group center out in Dodge County. It's a very rural area. It's a smaller center.
But the need for childcare, especially in those areas, must be massive.
It is. And our wait list is just, it's long. And there's, you know, you have to go 25 miles to the next town to get another childcare center. But what we struggle with is quality in this area and around the state. So I feel like this budget just pushed us even worse into that category. So
a question also. So when we hear the we were on the outside, of course, we were not a part of these discussions. So all I know is what we were told. And one of the biggest things they told us was that state Senator Dianne Heselbein, who is the minority leader of the Senate, was invited to the table to have this discussion. Besides her, was there anybody else in that room who had a deep knowledge of what you were looking for, who could have fought for exactly what you were trying to get? Or at the very least, I'm just going to start with just 2 years of funding. I'm going to make it that easy. Just 2 years of funding. Or was it a matter of the people in the room fighting for your, advocating for you, just didn't get it right?
I don't know how to feel right now. I think my mind is just so crazy, but I honestly don't know if anyone else is sitting at that table. I wish Corinne was on here too, to answer those questions. I feel no, because I feel like some of those Dems would have really voiced their opinions, because they're the ones that voted no for this bill. So I don't feel that. I truly believe that they feel that they compromised and won by giving us the 1 year, because we weren't even in the budget. So I feel like that is their win, I think, per se. And I just sit here wondering, so when do I tell my families here's my new rates and I know you can't afford it. So what's the best? Should we close in December or in May? Like it's one of those situations. So
there's, there are so many questions I have, Tricia. And
I agree.
Yeah. And the thing is like, we try to like look at the point of view of the people who say this was I personally feel like had the Democrats been asked to the table sooner, like 2 or 3 weeks before,
it would be a different
there
deal.
Would be a different story to tell right now, and we may be having a different conversation, or you wouldn't need to be here right now, because you'd be like, I'm gonna keep running my business. But
yeah, and celebrating. Like this is a huge, like this is such a historic time that they could have really, really, really done something great for us and the kids of the future. At the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about the children of the future and how we can help them and support them to have a great foundation, to get them to go to school and to have a great education. And so the education journey starts with us. And now pulling us out of those, you know, opportunities for these families to be in the workforce, I think you're not going to see it today or tomorrow, but as the year goes on, more centers. I know like a couple weeks ago, there was like 5 centers that closed in 1 week because they just are done fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you just can't do it anymore. You just can't do it anymore.
No. And it's like, we're not being heard, because at the end of the day, I think it was Voss that said, we don't want the money to go directly to the centers.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the teachers are the ones that need the money, right? We need to get them. $13 and $14 an hour isn't going to pay the bills for them to. I mean, I have some staff that literally can't move out of their house. They graduated college, they have an associate degree in childcare, and they can't move out because they can't live off of $13 to $14 an hour to pay their bills. Like, who would allow their kids to go into this field?
Yeah.
You know, like the future isn't going to be there.
And Tricia, I think it's important for folks to recognize that there is a lot more structure to daycare than I think most people who do not have kids realize. You are teaching them things. There's a schedule. It's not like my daycare where I would allow them to run around and throw pancakes at each other. You actually teach them things and prepare them for school.
We have lesson plans, assessments, portfolios. We do conferences. We do everything a school district does and more, because we're opened 12 months out of the year, you know? So when they're closed, when COVID shut down, we were the ones
open.
helping those kids stay in school and still getting and maintaining their education. So we are the base foundation. 90% of children's brains are formed before the age of five. That's us. Mm-hmm. We're the experts. And now we're pretty much, this is what I said to the group last night, is like, I honestly feel that they don't think our profession even exists, and that we're even anything except the bottom of the line scum. Like, we barely made it through college. Yeah. We don't even have an education. Like, we can't support that, because 16-year-olds can do this. Why can't you?
Well,
babysitters get paid more than us.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. Yeah. If you paid a babysitter, you would be paying them more than $13 an hour, and all they're doing are watching your children play. Yeah. We are talking about educators who are actually teaching our kids and preparing them for school. And we're saying, we're going to pay you less than a babysitter.
Well, and I think, and this is not on you to do, Tricia, but I feel like it's also sort of a branding issue, because when people hear childcare, they equate it to daycare.
Yep.
And childcare just sounds like babysitting. And that's not what this is. This should be called school. This should be called early childhood development, education, whatever you want to call it, to make people understand, oh, I'm paying for an education, not just to make sure my kid doesn't get beans all over their face and come home gross and dirty.
That's my daycare.
That's Jane's daycare. Yeah. It's pancakes galore. That's what it's going to be called.
It's fine.
And the other thing, too, and we discussed this with Corrine, is that on a base level of policy and not policy, but of politics, to go to your constituents and say, regardless of party, I fought for these childcare centers to stay open, to get them money, and to make sure they're paid well, so your children have a place to go, so you can work, and that they don't close down. That's a win-win, regardless to me, of party. Like, to me, you go back to your district and you celebrate making
sure
that—
Look what I did for you.
1,000 centers don't close, but for some reason, this obstinance— This, as you said, this looking at what you do as less than is the biggest problem.
And extremely short-sighted.
Oh,
it's really short-sighted.
Which we love to do.
Troy from Mount Horeb has been waiting a long time on the phone. Thank you for your patience, Troy. Real quickly, what did you want to say?
Oh, that's fine. I just really hope that the governor got assurances from these Republicans that they're not going to hold up funding and joint finance like they did the last budget. Because, you know, they can say whatever they want, yeah, but then they don't do it. So I just hope that that was handled.
I hear you, Troy. Gee, who would think that we would perhaps be somewhat suspicious of the Republicans and the Joint Finance Committee? Why would that be? Don't tell me.
I would love to hear of an instance where the Joint Finance Committee said, we'll pay for that, and then says no. They just flat out say no. We're not paying for hospitals or clean water or education. No, that's...
I would almost respect them more.
Well, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They just
came out and said, yeah, we're not going to fund anything. We're going to continue our conversation with Tricia Peterson. We were talking about childcare and the Wisconsin state budget that did get signed about 1:30 this morning by Governor Evers. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up globally on the app, the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. Calvitini on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Trisha Peterson is here. She is a daycare child care center owner in Wisconsin, and we're talking about the Wisconsin state budget. They did give some crumbs to the child care industry. That's what we're talking about right now. We did have a text come in from John listening on WAUK, John from the Falls, who says the answer why Republicans gave in is pretty easy. They don't want 18 months of negative press and how they've screwed kids in our state when they can provide some funding for a year and hope that the negative consequences ending comes so close to the election, it won't get noticed by voters.
Well, I mean, Robin Voss is the man who said they gave the greatest injection of funding into the educational system in a generation, which is easy to say when you give them nothing for so long. If I give you $5 after 20 years of nothing, that's the greatest increase you've gotten from me. Trisha, we had Kelder Royce on the show. I'm sorry, State Senator Kelder Royce on the show this week. And one thing she mentioned was a budget repair bill. Are your boots right back on the ground talking about this with her and other leaders, as well as other lobbyists, to look towards next year to try to get a fix in for the rest of this budget period?
Absolutely. I don't think we'll stop. As much as we say we're upset, I don't think it's going to end. I think we'll still try our hardest to continue the fight and hopefully sit down with them if they're open to it and to have discussions about it. I think most Democrats are listening to us. I'm not sure like all of them. There were some that voted for this bill. So right. I'm not sure all of them understand the process. And I think that's, we go back to every time is education and educating them on what we do and why it's so important. So absolutely, we'll try our hardest.
I'm curious what you hear from your parents, Trisha. I mean, they must understand what a valuable service you provide. They must be baffled why our lawmakers don't want to fund it.
Oh, absolutely. The biggest thing of the hurdle is getting them to advocate for us as well, you know, trying to get them to understand that they need to hear your voices and,
yes,
and from, you know, not only them and the employers, but they do. And they understand that because it's coming from their pocketbooks, I can't afford any more. And I'm currently right now the highest center in Dodge County. I charge the most. Quality is expensive. And we try to do our best with what we have, but we're working with peanuts. I mean, we're only a center licensed for 48 kiddos. So the only income we have coming in is from the parents. So it's hard.
And that's,
so I think they're struggling and with everything else in their lives going up,
yeah,
right? Food,
yeah,
and housing. I can't imagine, you know, what some of these people pay in rent and all this,
yep,
stuff. Childcare is literally, you know, up there in one of their biggest components.
Expenses.
Of what they pay them.
Sure.
And I think that's another thing of realization and the reality versus the perception of when people hear about childcare going up X amount of dollars, there are individuals who will say, well, what is that paying for? I mean, why do you need that much more? No, they want to pay their staff a decent wage to, as you said, move out of their parents' house, but also to afford the educational aspect of what's going on. This isn't to pay for your second boat, Trisha. This is to pay for your business and making sure the kids are taken care of.
She's got a Maserati. She drives around Dodgeville all the time. That's what all our child care providers are just raking in the dough.
And that, and I think that's what they honestly feel, is that when they pay us, they pay it, you know, it goes right to our pockets. But 86% of my budget is my staff. And so I can't pull anything else. Our overhead costs, food, mortgage, our insurance. We are one of our biggest, and that alone covers probably, I would like to say over 50%, but it's not. It's like probably 17% of my budget. So that alone, and then, you know, employees. And so if you can't keep employees, you can't keep your doors open. And I think that's where we're going to end up having. Staff can only do so much. Their mental health is so important. And adding more children to our childcare classrooms is not the answer.
Well,
it's actually a safety issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And that we had talked about what Robin Voss's big idea was, let's pay businesses to open childcare centers. Oh yeah, they're all signing up and lining up to do that because they want to follow the insurance requirements that you have to follow and all the other safety things and all the other regulations involved with that. Oh yeah, they're all lining up to do that.
That's what we said. If it's so easy, people would have done it years ago, yeah. Right? But it's such a different way of looking at things. I have one of my parents is an accountant. She's like, let me see your budget. I can do this. And it's not that easy. Like, you look at it and it's like, where else can you cut stuff from?
Yeah, right.
I can't, like, we need food on the table. We need, yes, supplies. But at some point, the paper runs out, the crayons run out,
yeah.
All that stuff. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, I am dumbfounded on what I'm going to do. So it's back to the drawing board.
Well, we will continue to keep this conversation going. Tricia Peterson, thank you so very much for your time. Hang in there. I'll come in and volunteer for a day. I don't know that you
want don't
me.
Want that.
Probably not. That's a whole other insurance issue, Tricia.
Pancakes everywhere.
The Republicans should be coming in and volunteering.
That's
yes.
a great idea.
Yes.
I love that idea. Thank you so much. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our next guest. And thank you to Sue from Franklin, who is the one who emailed us at janesays@civicmedia.us and said, you should talk to these people. So Alex Brusnan is here. He is the executive director of We Got This Milwaukee. Alex, thank you so much for being here. How are you doing this morning?
Real good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Again, Sue had one of our listeners had reached out to us and said, you should talk to this organization. They're fantastic. So tell us a little bit about We Got This in Milwaukee. And it's a gardening project, essentially, that you do, right?
Yeah, so we're located in the 53206 zip code. 53206 is the poorest zip code in the state of Wisconsin. And our zip code has over 800 vacant lots that the city owns. And it's a ton of land, a tremendous amount of land. And, you know, anytime a piece of property isn't owned by an individual or an organization, I mean, it's taken care of, but it tends to be a liability
yep.
more than an asset.
Sure.
And so, you know, we got this, was started about 15 years ago by a man named Andre Lealis, and we take vacant lots inside the city of Milwaukee, specifically right around our neighborhood, and we transform them into gardens. And we do that by employing young people from the neighborhood on Saturday mornings in the summer. So two days ago, we had about 150 kids come out, and they're slowly building out these garden spaces in the neighborhood.
That's really cool.
That's amazing.
That is cool. This must be a first for some of these kids to be this active in gardening, I would imagine.
Gardening and work in general. And, you know, I think as adults, we take for granted, you know, we go to work, we do things, and we provide an income for ourselves and for our family. But kids in my neighborhood, I live around the corner from the We Got This Garden. You know, kids in my neighborhood don't necessarily get that first opportunity. When I was 12, I was mowing my neighbor's lawn and she gave me $10 after it. And you learn, okay, I do work that has a value and that I'm paid for that work.
Right.
You know, in our neighborhood, you don't have those opportunities. So yes, for many of the kids, it's their very first work opportunity, which is great. We love that because we get to teach them, here is how you work. There's a difference between work and play. and, you know, work requires effort. And we'll walk you through that process, but we do expect, you know, you to be working when you're at work.
Well, and it's, as you said, though, Alex, it's just the basics of you have to show up on time. You have people who
I have to tell you about that in a second.
Yeah, but I mean, I knew someone who was a teacher at a high school, and he was in charge of the theater department, and they had a spring play every year. And one year, the kid who was the lead actor in the play just didn't show up. And he said, well, I had something else to do. It's a commitment. Yeah, you have to stay with this.
And I'm really glad you brought up showing up on time. So we have a capacity at We Got This. So, you know, throughout the year, we collect donations and, you know, the kids are paid through the donations to the organization. We're a 501c3. And so somewhere in the late winter, early spring, we set our capacity based, you know, how much money we have divided by 12 weeks of the summer program. That's how many kids can show up.
Sure.
So our capacity is somewhere around between 125 and 150. And we have we've established a little bit of notoriety in the neighborhood to the point where kids are showing up earlier and earlier and earlier. The first kid showed up on Saturday at 6 o'clock in the morning and we start at 8. So just to get a spot. And we reached capacity at 7:40. And unfortunately, we had to turn some kids away because they only got so much money.
Right.
But yeah, it's and we expect, you know, each week progressively throughout the rest of the summer that we'll reach capacity earlier and earlier, which has been what's happened historically.
So it's essentially, though, once you reach your max, that's it. That whoever shows up that day who wants to take part, you're going to take. It's first come, first serve.
Correct.
And are you seeing kids coming through like every week? Like you see the same faces coming through and it's like a job to them. It's a once a week job for them. They're doing the thing. And you know, I gotta get up at 5:30. Gotta get over to the site and get my spot.
Yeah. We have a lot of regular kids. I would say about, of the 150, about 20% were new, this past week. So we still get some new kids, you know, word of mouth. But we have a lot of returners, and this year we've really started to add different layers of leadership into the programming. And so we have dedicated student leaders that help lead little groups. I was a school teacher and an administrator for 15 years. And so we run it like you would run a school. So there's different classes that the kids go into, and that's just the group that they're a part of. But we have like some of that, some of those, what would be like the teacher of the group is a 19-year-old that was in the program the last 3 years. And so we try to keep establishing different layers of leadership so that, you know, kids can kind of grow as we grow and then take on more responsibility.
That's so valuable, Alex. Jeez. Seriously, though, to give some of these kids the opportunity to learn what it takes to manage what it learned. I mean, that's, it's just this hands-on experience that's just got to make such a difference for these kids. If you're just joining us, Alex Brusnan is our guest. We're talking about the We Got This Garden that is in Milwaukee and runs over the summer. And I'm, what do you hear from these kids after the first month? Say that they've been returning for a month. What are you hearing from some of these kids?
Well, you know, when the kids get paid out at the end of the day on Saturday, you know, I'm pretty aware of the fact that I have to, like, ask them these specific questions. You know, what did you learn? And then they'll tell me, okay, I learned, you know, the whatever the gardening task was. I learned how to plant potatoes because we planted potatoes yesterday. I would say, you know, 9 out of 10 kids will tell you they had a good time. Because, you know, work, you're supposed to enjoy the work that you do.
Right.
And as an adult, you strive for that, right? You want to be doing these things that you enjoy. And then we talk a ton about what you're proud of. Because most of the kids live in the neighborhood. And they'll walk by we have a garden that we installed next to a liquor store. So we call it the liquor store garden. And so, you know, some of the kids live next to the liquor store garden and walk by it all the time. And so you'll hear from them like, oh, I was walking by on Thursday and I saw the zinnias coming up because we're growing some flowers over there. And, you know, they'll tell me, okay, well, you know, I was reminded of when I put those boxes together or I filled those boxes or I planted those flowers. And so you can tell, you know, it's doing something in the neighborhood in terms of creating a sense of pride in the community.
And it's something they're going to remember too. I mean, also like just the notion of them walking past the garden and not just say, like, to hear a child say the zinnias are coming in is something that would make me so happy. But also to look at me like, oh, I make sure next week you water it a little bit more or do this thing because I'm noticing like they're also understanding the process of how plants and gardening works, that they can troubleshoot something maybe in someone else's garden. Like, oh, I used to work in a gardening place and I can tell you need more water or you need this soil. And that is something you can be proud of, but that's also an employable skill.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talk about that a lot, you know, the little tasks that you do. All a job is a set of, or a series of little tasks that you do, and you try to do them at a high level. And so you can take, you know, what you learned here. You may not go and be a gardener, but if you work construction, you know, you got to learn how to measure and cut and make sure that it looks right and, you know, have a high attention to detail. And so we talk about all those things. So each at sort of towards the end of the workday, the kids sit in a circle with their group leader and we have a series of questions that they kind of run through, really because we want them to reflect on the experience that they're having. Yes, you get $20 and that's cool and fun. And we have a dedicated group of lunch ladies that come and provide lunch right at the end of it. But we want you to stop and think for a second, you know, what did you do? How did you add value to the community? Because in our community, it's a struggle over here. There's not a lot of things that you can point at and look at and say, I added value to this. This gives kids an opportunity to say that they were able to do that.
I know. And I don't want to say it's only $20. It's $20. And to a kid, $20 is a lot. Is there any talk about hey, what am I going to do with this $20? Am I going to spend five on myself, put 15 away? Or do you have discussions on financial literacy with the pay they get?
Yeah, we do. We talk, and that's you know, two of the 12 weeks we'll talk about some of those financial literacy components, assets versus liabilities, and how to avoid going into debt. Nice. And okay, now you have this $20 and you've come for 10 weeks in a row. Now you have $200. You know, by the end of the summer, do you want $200 in your pocket to maybe buy yourself school clothes for the year, or do you want to spend it at the corner store on Flamin' Hots or whatever kids buy?
And is there more leaning towards the Flamin' Hots? I'm just curious.
I think, you know, like I said, I worked in schools for a very long time, and part of my time was working at an alternative school. And you get some kids who have a really negative disposition towards school and work and sometimes just existing in the world.
Yeah.
But when you stop an individual and you have, what you know, hopefully perceive to be a meaningful conversation with them about and help them think about what it might be like 10 weeks from now, mm-hmm. to have something that's a little bit different than you have today, you'd be surprised. A lot of them will say, yeah, I saved up my 20s and I went, you know, I don't know where they go, but
right.
Wherever they go to buy, you know, shoes or pants or clothes. A lot of times it's clothes for school.
Which is fantastic. Yeah. And I give them a lot of credit for that, because there are adults who cannot hang on to money and think about the long-term reward down the road.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a really valuable thing. I just think what you're doing is so important, especially if you are not seeing in that in your community or your family history.
Right.
It's just so important. Alex Brusnan is our guest. He is the executive director of We Got This Garden here in Milwaukee.
And I think that there must be some kids who think, you know, I'm just going to go garden and get $20. And then after the summer, like, oh, no, I've learned a whole host of things. Because that's the thing. Everything you've been talking to us about, Alex, is not just the gardening is a component, but it's a piece of the entire puzzle that they walk away and go, oh, I got lessons in life from this.
Yeah, whether they like it or not. I'm going to make sure that they get them.
I wanted to buy Takis, but man, I bought good shoes for school.
Instead. Oh. Alex, we only have about 2 minutes left. Is there a big banquet at the end of the summer? I mean, with all of this stuff that they've harvested and stuff?
Yeah. Oh, sure. So all the food is given out to the community. So kids take the food when it's harvested. They can take it home with them. Otherwise, it's just given back out to the community.
Awesome.
We do at the end of the season, we have, you know, just our end of the year celebration. And we'll do like a big back to school kind of giveaway. And so we'll source things. I should mention our website, wegotthismke.com. We have an Amazon wish list that will be more focused towards end of the year items. And, you know, we've, you know, a couple thousand dollars worth of back to school items, have been donated in the past and we anticipate will be donated again just to give out to the kids. And so we do kind of a big celebration.
We're going to include your link in our show notes so people can find out how they if they want to get involved. Do you use volunteers? I would imagine you do.
Yeah, and actually you called me the executive director, but I'm just a volunteer. We're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. 75% of our budget goes directly to the kids. The rest is to like pay the taxes and the water and buy dirt. You got to buy dirt a lot. So, Jane, if a listener wanted to follow along, we have a podcast that kind of like is like a weekly recap. It's called the 53206 cast. If a listener wanted to follow along, we give like weekly updates on We Got This.
Fantastic.
I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Alex Bresnan is with We Got This Garden Milwaukee. It's been so interesting, Alex. Thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Hush Your Mouth edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. So great to talk to Alex Bresnan from We Got This Garden Milwaukee. If you would like to learn more, check out the show notes at civicmedia.us. Greg is working on them as we speak. We have links to just about everybody that we talk to and articles that we talk about and all those things. You will find them at civicmedia.us. Click on shows and go to Matt Nair on Air. Tomorrow is July.
Whatever. Good Lord.
I remember at the end of June, May, we said, tomorrow is June. It's like, how did this happen? Yes, tomorrow is the 1st of July.
I remember when it was like, hey, 2025 is already here. My goodness.
Pat Kreitlow from Up North, or Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, will be joining us tomorrow after 9:35. He had a wonderful explainer last week about the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision regarding the maps in Wisconsin and some other things that the Wisconsin Supreme Court came down with last week. So Pat will be joining us tomorrow after the 9:30 news. I hope you can do so as well. Calvin, 10:54, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from Scripps News. Nobody with the byline. Headline reads,
nobody wanted it.
Kings Island visitors warned to keep mouth closed on amusement park rides because of cicadas. This is from last month. Brood 14 out and about in Mason, bringing uninvited guests to one of the area's biggest attractions, Kings Island in Mason, Ohio. I've heard a lot about this from friends who are big roller coaster fans. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be fabulous, Kings Island. Yeah. Roller coasters, everything else. Unfortunately, Brood 14 of cicadas were so bad this year that they had to tell people going on rides to make sure they kept their mouths closed so you didn't get a mouthful of cicada.
That to me is just a free meal at a park because food is expensive there. You want to get a funnel cake? It's like $40.
Good protein there in those cicadas.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, several people shared their experiences of cicadas joining them at the amusement park, including Mom Hope Daniels, who shared the moment when her son Oliver realized a cicada landed on him. He loves all things bugs and earth, but when it comes to cicadas, I don't know if it's the legs or whatever, they creep him out. She was one of many sharing their cicada-filled trip to this amusement park. I think we're starting to embrace and make them our friends. We're taking them with us everywhere. On roller coasters.
In our hair.
In our hair.
I,
Enjoy the cicadas when you're on the ride, but keep your mouth closed.
To me, that's very funny, actually. Chris on the text line says, what about one in the eye? Ouch. Absolutely. Those things are like hard shell little tacos coming right at you.
So you're still going to be bombarded with cicadas in your face.
But the notion of like, let's think about it. Like, all right, the advice is to keep your mouth closed mm-hmm. while being on the roller coaster. You think to yourself, okay, I'll just do that. What do you do on a roller coaster when it goes down the big hill?
You scream.
You scream. So it's either, can you imagine just a car full of no voices or just nothing? It's dead silence as you're just like.
Nobody says a word.
How about we just wait until cicada season is over and then we go?
I'm thinking, what about little Devo helmets?
Little Devo.
With a little face shield.
Oh, that's.
And then they can be pink, pink.
And you can scream all you want.
Hear them, and you can scream and you can see them bouncing off your shield. I'm trying to help.
Just the notion. I just go back to the conversation we had last year. I love that cicadas have evolved in a way where they come back at odd times. So because predators can't understand.
Yes, to throw them off.
To throw them
off.
Like,
yes.
How do we stay alive? Let's come back in 17
they
years.
They will never see us coming.
Exactly.
They will never see us coming.
Unless you're on a roller coaster, then they're coming right for your face.
Apparently things have gotten a little bit better since last month. But there have been some pretty amusing photos taken because you can always get photos of you riding down the and everybody's riding with their lips shut going.
Every day this show is called, every day this segment's called something and you wanted to call it the wee edition. I'm like, I can't spell that. We're having so much fun. I can't.
That wraps up today's edition of.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Coming up, news is on the way, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Todd Alba, we have Trigby and Pat Kreitlow, guest hosting for Todd Alba today. And for Maggie Dawn today from 4 to 6, it's Matt Rothschild and the wonderful Angela Lang.
Love Angela.
Love
Lang
Angela
so much.
As well. So keep it right here. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all. For calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and get the chance to share it. News is coming up next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.